Merhaba from BA. This is a Rorschach Turkey update from the 3rd of June 2025, a quick summary of what's going down in Turkey. On Wednesday 28th, municipal workers in the western city of Izmir, represented by the Confederation of Progressive Trade Unions of Turkey, went on strike after contract talks with the city failed. The workers are asking for a 65% raise, which means a monthly salary between 82,000 and 94,000 liras, that is from about 2,500 to 2,850 US dollars, depending on the worker's position. The amount is well above average, even for skilled workers in the city. The city offered about 20,000 liras, around $500 less, saying the union's demand was too high for the budget. The strike faced criticism for high pay demands, with many seeing the union as pro-government and alleging it is using the strike to pressure the opposition-led city. Around 23,000 workers from city-run cleaning, transport, energy and health services joined the strike. Trash piled up in busy areas, buses stopped running and daily life got messy fast. On Friday the 30th, Sosju TV, a prominent opposition channel, aired a commercial from Espresso Lab, a coffee chain included on the Republican People's Party or CHP's boycott list. The list was part of the nationwide protests against the detention of Ekrem İmamoğlu, the mayor of Istanbul and the presidential candidate of the CHP. The boycott targeted businesses seen as close to the government that stayed silent against the unlawful arrest of İmamoğlu. Espresso Lab was one of them. The aim was to pressure these companies by urging CHP supporters to stop sending money on their products. So the ad's appearance surprised viewers, since Sosju TV had been in favor of the protests. Sosju TV did not explain why it ran the Espresso Lab ad despite the boycott. The ad's unexpected airing raised questions about the boycott's reach and the channel's role in the ongoing political dispute. Speaking of the media, on Thursday the 29th, the Parliament's Plan and Budget Commission approved changes to the Turkish radio and television law. The new rules let the general manager of the Turkish Radio and Television Corporation, or TRT, earn a salary matching the highest state official, including bonuses. The pay considers seniority, base salary, social benefits, and allowances. A CHP lawmaker criticized TRT harshly, saying it insults taxpayers. Another CHP lawmaker pointed out that TRT, funded mainly by an $11 billion tax share, favors the government in its broadcasts. TRT's board members have seen a 464% salary increase over 4 years. On Thursday, the 29th of May, authorities blocked hundreds of Grup Yorum videos on YouTube, citing national security and public order concerns. Grup Yorum is a protest band known for songs addressing political oppression and workers' rights. It has faced increasing censorship over the past decade, including concert bans and arrests for its political views against the government. Spotify also removed its music, affecting more than 400,000 subscribers. Experts stated that these actions violate both Turkey's constitution and international human rights agreements. In response to the bans, Grup Yorum shared a link to all their albums online. Next, on the 30th of June, a court will rule on whether the CHP's last congress was legally valid. Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu, the former leader of the party, lost his seat after the vote in the congress and stepped back from politics. But if the court cancels the results, party leadership could revert to him by default. Sources close to Kılıçdaroğlu said he's preparing for that possibility. They also warned that if he refuses to return, the party could enter a leadership vacuum, with the possibility of the government appointing a trustee in his place. Rumor has it that names close to Kılıçdaroğlu have already begun lobbying for roles in case of a comeback, and former allies reportedly continue to fund him. Meanwhile, on Sunday the 26th, Sahak Mashalyan, the Armenian Patriarch of Istanbul, led a special service at the historic Serp Giregos Armenian Church in the eastern city of Diyarbakir. During the ceremony, Mashalyan highlighted the crucial role of peace in Turkey's fight against terrorism, urging all religious leaders to advocate for it as a key to resolving conflicts and inspiring hope. He encouraged unity, friendship, and goodwill to heal divisions and create a brighter future. His message aligns with his previous approach to sensitive topics such as the 1915 Armenian genocide allegations, where he has called for avoiding political use of these events and instead focusing on open dialogue and building bridges between communities. His stance on this issue often sparks debate about the balance religious leaders in Turkey must maintain between addressing historical grievances and promoting national unity. On Thursday, the 29th of May, the police detained Umidajan Bekhanova, a Turkmenistan citizen, and took her to the Arnavutköy Removal Center in Istanbul. The next day, authorities issued a deportation order, citing public order concerns, but her lawyers immediately challenged it, stating she is protected from return due to the risk of torture in Turkmenistan. On Sunday, the 1st of June, another detainee told her family she had been taken to the airport, but since then, no one has been able to contact her. Bekhanova, who arrived in Turkey legally in 2017 and opposes the Turkmen regime, reportedly refused to sign a voluntary return form and has expressed fear for her safety. These developments have raised serious legal and human rights concerns under both Turkish and international law. Shifting gears, on Wednesday the 27th, the Foreign Ministry of the United Kingdom updated its travel advice for Turkey, highlighting several safety concerns for British nationals visiting the country. These include the risk of counterfeit alcohol, advising tourists to purchase alcoholic beverages only from licensed establishments, and to avoid homemade or unbranded drinks. Additionally, it warned against using unregistered taxis, recommending that travelers opt for licensed or app-based services and ensure the taxi meter is used instead of a fixed price. The ministry also cautioned about the potential for protests, particularly in major cities like Istanbul and Ankara, which may disrupt transportation and escalate into violence. Lastly, it reminded travelers of the legal requirement to carry photo identification at all times in Turkey. In some upsetting news, on Tuesday the 3rd, a magnitude 5.8 earthquake struck the Mediterranean Sea near the southwestern city of Mula, shaking cities across western Turkey, including Antalya, Aydin, and Izmir. The governor of Mula reported one death and 69 injuries, mostly caused by panic. A 14-year-old died after suffering a panic attack. Despite the strength of the quake, officials said there was no serious damage to home or infrastructure. Power, water, and natural gas services remained stable. In updates on the cost of living, on Tuesday the 3rd, the Statistics Institute announced the rent increase cap for June, based on May's inflation. In June, landlords can raise rents by up to 46% for homes and businesses, which is slightly less than May's nearly 49% increase. The Feast of Sacrifice begins this Thursday, the 5th of June, with a half-day public holiday, followed by full-day holidays from Friday the 6th to Monday the 9th. It commemorates Prophet Ibrahim's willingness to sacrifice his son as an act of obedience to God. Traditionally, families sacrifice an animal, usually a cow, sheep, or goat, and share the meat with relatives, neighbors, and those in need, but many choose to donate to charity instead. The holiday is celebrated by visiting family, wearing new clothes, and giving children gifts or money. Public offices, banks, and most businesses close starting from Thursday afternoon, so many people take the opportunity to travel or spend more time with their families. Closing this edition with days off, even though the summer break starts on the 20th of June, and many families hoped schools would extend the break by merging it with the Feast of Sacrifice, on Thursday the 29th, the Minister of National Education stated that the school year must last at least 180 days, rejecting calls to combine the holiday with the summer break. Ahead of the holiday, thousands of families planned out-of-the-city visits and tried to avoid returning to school for the 2 weeks after the festival. Many parents rushed to hospitals to get health reports, while others submitted official letters saying their children wouldn't attend classes, all aiming to extend the holiday. And that's it for this week. Thank you for joining us. Want to pass along an episode? Just head to www.rorschach.com/turkey to download any of them as MP3 files. The link's in the show notes. Hostja Kalin.